In a way, I'm glad to go after Jennifer and Jillian because they've presented a little bit of the basics of what CORE actually does. And what I'm going to do now is to capture something far more difficult in public health, which is to catch a collaborative organization in the act of saving lives, which is not an easy story to tell, but I think we've found that animal in the wild. And I'm going to do it through the story of a project that actually both Jennifer and Melanie have been intimately associated with, which is an expanded impact program in Rwanda. Just for those of you who tweet, in case you're wondering, I was tweeting Jennifer's talk just a second ago, but feel free to use. These are some of the hashtags that you can use. I say this because now I go to a lot of talks at conferences where you see half the people, you know, on their phones. It is kind of rude, but now they have an excuse to do that. So Kebeho Mwana, the life of a child, is a USAID expanded impact program. In fact, it used to be called EIP, expanded impact program, before we found a somewhat more sort of evocative and poetic name. And it's a program that was that ran for 5 years. Concern was the lead, but we worked closely as a threesome with World Relief and IRC, my organization. And the boundaries of Rwanda have changed a little bit, so it's hard for us to have neat maps, but this gives you a sense of where the project was operating, which was in the southeast and the southwest of the country, and in six of the former districts, and covering about 18% of the population, of the under five population, so a good fifth of the country, of a country that by African standards is relatively large at 10 million or so people. And the project objectives, and I'll go a little quickly through the project because the point of this story isn't the project, but the kind of soil on which the project grew. That one was to increase access to first-line treatment to stop children from dying, increase the preventive interventions to stop people from getting sick in the first place, the interventions coming from the outside, and then to increase the family practices. So there are things that come from the outside, like bed nets could be argued one, but there's things that come from the inside, like hand washing, that Jennifer was talking about. And to put it very simply, this is a huge summary of a complex and longstanding project, but it consisted of doing ICCM with care groups, so that you caught both the services aspect of helping children survive and the behavioral aspect of it. And the results were very good. And I'll give you, there's a little bit more complexity than these numbers reveal, but you saw that across a wide range of indicators, there was a lot of improvement. What was interesting about Rwanda is it's a fairly well-documented country. There's DHSs, and there's UNICEF also collects child mortality data. So there's been a variety of analysis, some done by ICF, there's one that I'll share in a second, done by somebody at Brown University working with the Rwandese government, to see, you know, what different interventions contributed. Because overall, Rwanda has a spectacular decline in child mortality. But as always, the key question is why, because we want to be able to kind of bottle that. And you'll see that some of these, for example, the increase in ORS use was good. You know, it's nearly a doubling, but it's pretty consistent with what was seen across the country. So there was an improvement, but there was an improvement in the whole country, even in non-project areas. But there are a number of areas, and I'd like to highlight fever treatment and pneumonia treatment, where the increases were actually far outstripped what happened in the rest of the country. So for those interventions, there's evidence that the project, although covering 18% of the population, contributed between 30 and 40% of the life-saving due to increased pneumonia treatment and increased treatment of fevers, so basically malaria treatment. That's a huge increase for a project. And the analysis done by Adam Levine at Brown and others showed that basically they did a pre- and post-ICCM. Now, and what they did is they followed different districts, started ICCM, integrated community case management, at different times. So what they did is they kind of did a staggered analysis where they looked for each district, what happened in a three-month period, before the ICCM was implemented and what happened a 3-month period a year later. So, you know, so it's even in terms of season. And what they found, it was a nearly halving of child mortality in those areas corresponding with the introduction of CCM. So huge impact. That's, you know, causation is always difficult to establish in public health, but fairly strong circumstantial evidence that the project was responsible. So you have from a USAID point of view, right, 5 years, $4 million, and you have nationwide impact of a pretty significant magnitude on child mortality. That's from a USAID point of view, a great impact, and I think a very good investment. The question is now, what led to it? And probably the bulk of this, the elephant in the room, is that this happened in Rwanda. And that's a big part of the story. It's not today's story, so I'm not going to dwell on it. But the Eric Sario, who did the final evaluation, summarized very nicely the sort of what happens in Rwanda. That basically, you know, the countries decide community health isn't some thing you pay lip service to, but they want to do it, and people who do it in the country within the country hierarchy are kind of accountable for their results. So everybody's actually working hard to get things done. And that's, you know, probably more important than anything. But the project did have an important impact. As I mentioned, it covered 18% of the population. It was systematically the first district, right, to implement it. It was in 2008, really, that ICCM started throughout the whole country. This project started in 2006, and in fact, some ICCM had started in 2004. So the project was at the vanguard, not only of actually implementing and contributing a source of trainers and other people who could then train other districts, but designing the tools, the registers, the kind of rules of how it's done. So again, not to take away from the Rwandese government or from the kind of general atmosphere of accomplishment, but I think it's fair to say that the project contributed substantially, which leads us to the question, what made this project work? And there I'm going to go from the range of the quantitative to the formative research. As someone, I was involved in setting up the project along with a number of people who I'll talk about here, and was a kind of front row spectator to a lot of the project's progress. And I say spectator because really others did the work, but I feel I was in a good position to observe what was happening and what was really making a difference. And to me, clearly, the ability to work together, which we talk about in public health, that happens all the time right now with Ebola, and it's actually very difficult to do. And teamwork isn't always easy, and I think this picture, this is me attending a care group meeting in Kibogora in eastern Rwanda, and western Rwanda, and if I, you know, don't look totally comfortable, it's accurate, right? I wasn't, partnership isn't always comfortable. And I had some questions, had been to a number of meetings and seen and heard about the care group approach, but this was the first time I was actually living it, and I wasn't completely at ease. And also, it's difficult sometimes to work with other organizations because the culture is different. And it's a different group of people who chose to work there for a different reason. And so it's not easy, but as somebody once told me in medical school, any real learning is not going to be comfortable. And it's to me, that particular trip was incredibly enlightening in terms of understanding what behavior change is, not only based on some of the principles we heard from Jennifer, but also a deep connection into the social fabric was. And for that's not something that IRC in Rwanda, and frankly in other places, had really had much experience or thought much about as an organization. So to see it in action really changed a lot of my mind of what was possible. And I think that sort of thing happened at many levels of staff across the organization. So then the question is, if having teamwork, is having organizations that are different, contribute different strength, IRC was the M&E partner, World Relief was the social and behavior change partner and the care group expert, and you had Concern, who was kind of the adult in the room, really doing an amazing job of bringing everybody together. The question now is, how do we actually promote that teamwork? And I'm going to get closer to CORE and to explaining the role of that. But before we get there, I think we have to be clear that donor incentives are huge, meaning donors have an enormous ability to promote or discourage competition versus actual collaboration. And I really think that there's a lot of things that donors do, and I'm sure they're unwilling, including USAID, including DFID, that actually promote competition. Rules about how missions work, and also what you get rewarded for, right? You get rewarded for sort of promoting yourself. And for making that you're the one organization, and for being ahead, for having intelligence, for basically playing a very competitive game, for socializing with mission people. And what I thought was very important about expanded impact is that on every level, both in terms of at the level of the of DC and the Child Survival and Health Grants Program, but also at the level of the mission, the donor was like, you have to work together. And to be frank, there were moments when we were putting together the project where not everybody wanted to work together, but we didn't have a choice because the donor said, either this project is going to happen with all three organizations or it's not going to happen. I want to make a little plug. I thought this project is a great demonstration of how helpful the expanded impact category was. Now, I'm not quite sure why it didn't continue, but again, a story for another day. The other thing I want to say quickly is structures. And this was, this structure was, I thought, brilliant. At first, you know, the natural tendency was to have each organization would be in its little fiefdom. Right, in the area where it had been working, and we would have all the staff in that area and handle everything. And instead, what happened was that there was a kind of intermixed thing where in Kibogora, for example, where World Relief had been working, IRC actually hired some of the staff and was responsible for having the M&E staff. So in every position, in every place, you had people from different organizations. And what that meant functionally is that you had a large number of people who had dual allegiances, if you want, meaning they were, for example, working in the World Relief area and often might have been the World Relief staff, but they also participated in IRC meetings and were part of the overall IRC strategy regarding monitoring and evaluation. And I think that that mere act of having people who are kind of dual national, so to speak, it goes a long way. This is a little bit, what it looks like. And this is Beatrice, who's at the forefront here, who I had the pleasure of working with a little bit, was a great example of someone who was hired initially and kind of developed by World Relief. We hired her as M&E person because, to our surprise, although she didn't have a ton of education, she had amazing Excel skills. That's exactly the kind of person who's able to mediate and bring the organizations together. But then the third and most important thing, and we're going to close with in terms of CORE and bring CORE into all this, is people, right? This structure wasn't designed out of randomly. It was designed by Michelle Culetti, and I thought it was appropriate to have her here with her child, who's now much younger, as she nurtured Cabejo Moana, much as she nurtured her daughter Camden. But it's not just Michelle. It's also Melanie. It's Jennifer. It's Breda Gahan, and at every level. And to me, the CORE had a huge impact in breeding the people. First of all, in having a culture of collaboration, because most of what you do, you heard those meetings. Most of what CORE is about is people collaborating, regardless of their institutional hat. And that really creates a first of all, we get to know each other. We have common values, we have common affiliations, right? Instead of looking at someone and saying, oh, they're with Concern, or they're with ADRA, or they're with Save the Children, I'm thinking, oh, they're CORE members. We even have a secret handshake, but it's a little too early to talk about that. And then we end up having common tools, and the common tools have they help to foster sort of a common understanding, but they're also huge, because when three organizations come together, they don't have to think about how they're going to do their baseline and final measurement, because we've all been using the same tool already. So I was trying to think of the kind of a metaphor, an image to close this out. And to me, the water is in the sea. And we know that, you know, life gets created in the sea, and it's a hugely important thing for we couldn't live, we probably wouldn't have emerged without the sea. And yet, the sea is very hard to recognize, right? The sea doesn't do things. It just promotes. And to me, CORE is that way. I think it's an example of great donorship that USAID has supported CORE as long as it does. I worry a little bit, though, because it goes against the grain of a lot of aid as a spectacle. And we see that with Ebola, right, where it's all about getting credit for what your organization is doing and making it seem that you're a hero. And in fact, what happens is there's lots of different actors with lots of different strengths. And there aren't a lot of fora where people are actually acculturated to working together and actually motivated to and incentivized to. And I think CORE is one of those things, and that's why I forgot to mention that I have my conflict of interest, and I have none direct other than having had a few nice meals as a CORE board member. But I feel passionately that institutions like CORE have a huge impact, and I think in Rwanda we can draw a straight line from what CORE has done to actually increasing the pace of child survival and decreasing child mortality. But we have to be really careful. It's difficult to document, and I really hope that donors, not just USAID but others as well, will recognize that this sort of secret and invisible and all-surrounding action is as important as any of the more visible projects. Thanks.